Today's learning is dedicated to Lezecher Nishmas Esther Bashim Tzviya, the day of her yahrzeit. May the learning be a chus for neshama, sponsored by her children, Rabbi and Mrs. Yaakov Tzvi Kovel. Okay, so I want to put this in a little bit of a perspective. Let's start it. I'm just going to speak this out. The Gemara started this conversation and wanted to know whether an Eid Echad comes and tells a woman that she can have Yibum, that her husband died, and there's a brother. Can she have Yibum or not? And the Gemara's question was, what is the main reason we trust an Eid Echad to say that a woman's husband died? Is it because of the fact that he's afraid he'll be found out to be a liar? Therefore, he's extra careful to be honest, because usually these things get known. And therefore, we rely on him, and her investigation is just an added extra. Or is her added investigation a main part of the heter? And in the case of when she has a yavam, since she already had a previous shaychus, I don't want to use the word relationship, because relationship indicates more, just a previous kind of shaychus to her brother-in-law, the liking her brother-in-law, I use the word love her brother-in-law, somewhat, not as much as her husband, but the Eid Echad said her husband's dead. So now, she has an affinity to her brother-in-law, and that will taint her ability to have an honest investigation. That was the Gemara Shiloh. The Gemara tried to prove it, didn't prove it. The second Lashon said that's not a question. To prepare a Mishnah. The Mishnah said a woman is believed to say her husband died in order she should get Yibum. If we trust a woman, we would trust an Eid Echad. Whereas the first Lashon held that a woman who comes on her own would be much more careful than when she has an Eid Echad supporting her. Therefore, the Gemara had a Shiloh by an Echad, didn't have a Shiloh by a woman. But the second Lashon says, if we trust the woman to say her husband died and let her have Yibum, for sure when we have an Eid Echad. That was that Gemara. Then the Gemara went to a second Shiloh. And the second Shiloh was, at the end of the day, we didn't prove it. The second Lashon held it wasn't the Shiloh. For sure we would trust the woman to say that her husband died. We'd trust an Eid Echad. Because the Mishnah says we trust the woman to say her husband died, that she should get Yibum. That's the Shiloh between the two Lashonos. The second Lashon says that proves Eid Echad. The first Lashon says, the way we explained it yesterday, in a certain sense, a woman is much more careful when everything is on her than when she has an Eid Echad backing her. So maybe she won't do a proper investigation when it's based on an Eid Echad. Whereas if it's based on her, she would be much more careful. So that's what the first Lashon held, and therefore, according to the first Lashon, we didn't prove anything. Now, we move on to the next Shiloh. And the next Shiloh was, a woman came in and said, an Eid Echad came in and told the woman, your Yavam died. Your Yavam died. Here was her husband. He died. And he also told her that her Yavam died. Right? Or he told her, your husband died and then your son died. Either way, he's removing her from Yibum. She had a husband's brother, right? And he's saying, you don't have to have Yibum, either because your Yavam died or because your son outlived your husband. One of the two cases. And the Shiloh is the main thing to Eid Echad, because it's going to be found out, and therefore we would rely on him. Or is the main thing the investigation and a hatred that she might have towards her brother-in-law? And it's clear from this Gemara, as we will prove as we go along, that the emotion of hatred is stronger than the emotion of love. And the hatred would taint the woman's ability to investigate, and therefore we would not rely to say that the Yavam died or that her husband predeceased her son. That's what the Gemara says. That's the Shiloh of the Gemara.
Where do we get this that, okay, well, why would there be more hatred to a brother-in-law than a regular third party?
Yes.
Why?
Because people hate their brothers-in-law. It seems to be pretty typical. It's pretty typical. Let's use the word not wanting to marry them. No, they have a disdain. Okay, we'll use the word disdain. Meaning, they're stuck with their brother-in-law. They're never stuck with another man. If there's no Yibum, they marry who they want to. If there's Yibum, that means the brother-in-law gets to decide whether he wants to marry her, and she has no say in the matter.
Well, it's not because of his brother-in-law, it's because it's a forced marriage.
Well, if she likes her brother-in-law, that's not a problem. It's because she doesn't like her brother-in-law to be her husband.
She didn't get the option, that's all.
No, it's more than that. It's not getting the option is only a problem if there's a negative relationship. If there's no negative relationship, what does he care? The answer is, many times there's a negative relationship between relatives, between husband's relatives. So the Gemara answers, the Gemara tries to answer, we brought a case, from the fact that our Mishnah said that she found out her husband died first, then her kid, she got married, then they came in and they said, your husband died after your kid died, you need a Yibum. The kids of Mamzerim. Who told her that her husband died first, and who came in and told her that her husband died second? If it's two against two, it's tray to tray. Why are we believing the second pair? Must be, one A told her husband died first. Two Adam came in and said her husband died second, so that's why she's in trouble. So the Gemara answers was Hazama. It was two against two. And the second pair didn't just contradict the first pair, but they disqualified the first pair by saying you weren't even there. Then the Gemara brought a different raya, and that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to start again from Amalei Reb Mordechai, which is across Taisus Key, one line down. Tadi Dalet Amud Aleph. Across from Taisus Key, one line down. Amalei Reb Mordechai Reb Ashi. The Amalei Reb Acha Reb Ashi. Touch him out. Eino ishen amenes loim remes yavam ishen nosei. We don't trust a woman to say, my brother-in-law died. Right? A woman is an amana. She has a brother-in-law. She's chayiv in yibum. She walks into Bezdin and says, listen, unfortunately, my brother-in-law got killed, or he died. I am free to marry whoever I want. Bezdin does not believe her. Veloi meisa achaisi. And a woman cannot testify that her sister died, which would permit her to marry her brother-in-law, Shekhanis Levesa, her sister's husband. The diak is, why did the Mishnah say she's not believed? Why didn't the Mishnah say no Eidachan is believed? He needs the Le Mehemna. She's not believed. Ho Eidachan Mehemna. But one Eid is believed. If not, why didn't the Mishnah just get straight to the point and say, an Eid Echad is not believed to tell a woman that her Yavam died? Why did the Mishnah concentrate on her? Must be that the Mishnah is saying, we don't trust her because she has a negative emotion towards her brother-in-law. But an Eid Echad is a neutral, we do trust. That means we can prove that an Eid Echad is not meant to tell a woman that her brother-in-law died. It's not her investigation that's the main part of it. It's the Eid Echad that's the main part of it. That's what the Gemara wants to prove. Now, the Gemara will respond that that can't be the Diyak. First, the Gemara will respond that that can't be the Diyak. Then the Gemara will go back and say, so why didn't it say Eid Echad? Again, there's two parts that have to be done here. We have a Diyak. The Mishnah says she's not believed to say her brother-in-law died. The inference is that an Eid Echad would be believed. So we're going to prove that that inference is not true. But then we have to go back and figure out, so why didn't the Mishnah say Eid Echad? If it's not true, why didn't the Mishnah say it? So how do we prove that it's not true? Well, Tameich. Eim HaSeifa. Go to the end of that Mishnah. Guy walks in and says, my brother died, I want to do Yibum. We don't trust him. Listen, an Eid Echad comes in and tells a woman her husband died, we believe him. This guy comes in and says, her husband, my brother, died. We don't believe him because we don't trust him to do Yibum. Guy can't walk in and say, my wife died. I want to marry her sister. We don't trust him to say his wife died. Are you going to make... What? Exactly. But the dig is, are you going to say that Echad is believed to say a woman died? We're not matreid Echad to say a woman died. It was a special heter to be matter a woman to get remarried. A husband doesn't need that heter. A husband can get remarried anytime he wants. The Mishnah says a man can't come in and say his wife died. How about if a stranger came in and told the man his wife died? Would he be able to marry her sister? We don't trust Eid Echa to say a woman died. The only reason we trusted Eid Echa to say a man died is because of Iguna. There's no Iguna to tell a man that his wife died. What? He can get married to five wives. He's not limited.
What's the lesson we use by
wife? Kilo Barabba. So we hear, are you going to make the same dick? Who knew during Mehemon and Eichad Mehemon? So Mishnah Megabi Isha, the reason we believe in Eid Echa to be macho or woman, Mishnah Meguna, Kilo Barabba. And Megabi Isha, my Kilo Mehemar. So obviously the inference is wrong.
Why
do we believe in Eid Echa to tell a woman her husband died?
Because we don't want to say remain in the
state. Okay. Is a man ever in the state that he can't get remarried?
That
I'm not going to that case. Let's go to the next case. He said his wife died. So we don't believe him to let him marry her sister. That case. What if an Eid Echa said his wife died? We wouldn't believe him either. So obviously the inference that the Mishnah is discussing the person themselves as opposed to an Eid Echa is not a good inference. Because it's not true. Now we got a problem. So why didn't the Mishnah say Eid Echa? Again, the Mishnah wrote, the woman is not believed to say her sister died. The woman is not believed to say her Yavam died. The Mishnah said the man is not believed to say his brother died. The man is not believed to say his wife died. Now, if you're going to say that the Mishnah is picking the parties involved to infer that an Echad is believed, which we wanted to say, then it would have to be true across the Mishnah. And it's not true across the Mishnah. So obviously there's no inference. End of Raya. But the problem now is, so why didn't the Mishnah say Eid Echa? Why did the Mishnah pick on the parties involved? Let the Mishnah say, an Eid Echa can't tell a woman her Yavam died, and an Eid Echa can't tell a woman her sister died, and an Eid Echa can't tell a husband, your brother died, and an Eid Echa can't tell a man, your wife died. Why did the Mishnah say the parties involved if the inference is not true? That's what we have to deal with now. Dr. Gemara, I'll tell you why. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, this woman that comes in and says, her Yavam died, and she wants to get remarried, what would happen if she got remarried and her Yavam shows up? She would get Mamzera. The same risk, according to Bekiva, if a woman would say her Yavam died, and we'd let her get married, and the Yavam shows up, whatever we did to an Aches Ish, we would do it to the Yavam. So according to Bekiva, Yash Mamzi Mechai V'lav. So why don't we trust her? She's more than an Eda. She has a lot riding on this. She's risking her kids being Mamzerim. We trust her to say her husband died because she's risking her kids being Mamzerim. So why don't we trust her to say her Yavam died because she's risking her kids to be Mamzerim? That's why the Mishnah picked her to tell, even though she has so much riding on it, that you would think that we should trust her because she's putting her life on the line. The answer is, her emotion of dislike to her Yavam would make her say it even at that risk. And therefore, she's not believed to say her Yavam died. So the Mishnah is not here to tell you an inference. The Mishnah is telling you the basic halacha. You would think a woman is more believed than an Eid Echa because the woman is putting so much on the line. Kamash Malan, even the woman is not believed because their emotion of hatred is enough to say we can't trust her. That's why, once the Mishnah picked her in the first case, the Mishnah picked her in the second case and him in case 3 and 4. There's no inference of an Eid Echa. An Eid Echa is also maybe not believed. Maybe yes, maybe not, no proof. the Mishnah picked her. The Mishnah picked her because it tried to tell me a bigger chiddush. You would think that with so much on the line, we should trust her.
There's no yiguna.
Right.
There's no yiguna the Kibbutz
Rabbanim. Not when there's an emotion of hatred. Feed it inside. And for the Gemara, Eliki Yitzchak Lur Bekiva. It's Talkadai Dechamino Hayavam Rur Bekiva Yesh Mamza Mechai Vilavin. A Mechai Shal Kekula. What does it say? Vedaika. She's worried about the consequences. Kamash Malan. And we're not going to parentheses. Kamash Malan, Rashi says, that her dislike of her Yavam makes it that we can't be Meiko Mishamiguna. Rashi. All the way, top line, top wide line, last wide line. Shekanis Lebeisa V'intzim V'Lebailo. She says her sister died, she wants to marry her husband. Save it in 20 Ayechim, I haven't bit me. I mean, Mehemet Erecha, Lema Mesa Ishtach, Lutza Achaisa. Would an Erecha be believed to say that a woman's, that a man's wife died to marry her sister? Elo Loit Seidik Mino Erecha Mehemet. Do not make that inference. Why? Because we proved it's not true in all the cases. So why did it pick the case of the woman? It wanted to tell me this Kiddush. The Loi Mehem Nevalibin Rebbe Kiva Yitzchak. And we need it according to Rebbe Kiva. The Salkadai Tachayav Amar Rebbe Kiva Yesh Mamzi Mivam Elishok. Since Rebbe Kiva said there's a Mamzi from Yivam Elishok. Chai Shal Kukula. She's worried about the consequences. V'chi Amar Meis Yivami Tinase. Kamash Maloin Loi Mehemnen. Why? Shem the Zimnen the Sanyalei. Because sometimes she dislikes because Amra. Abu Gabi by the Loi Minan Sanyalei. By a woman, by her husband, we have no reason to think that there's a dislike. That's Pshat in the Gemara. Now Rashi brings a different girsa and proves it wrong. But this is the Pshat in the Gemara. The answer is the Gemara Mishnah, they wanted to tell me a Chiddush. You would think that according to Bekiva, the consequences are so severe that we should allow her to get married based on her testimony. Kamash Malan, the emotion of dislike to Yavama will override that, and we can't trust her. There's no reason to believe that a woman dislikes her husband. We assume all marriages are happy and wonderful. There's the Garas. Kamash Malan Al Kakula Didokhaisha. She's worried about her own problems, the Maze Bailey. The Asim Bailey, Amina Taita Mizab Mizab Kokulu de Masnisaba. Because when her husband shows up, we make her get out of both of them and all the consequences. So Khmehemna. Al Kakula de Zara. But only worrying about her children, Kikamase Yavama, Dinami Mishakra Loy Makalkala, El Zara. Because even if she lies, she's only messing up her kids. For some reason, I can't even explain this girsa. The Gemara had a girsa that said that the reason we don't rely on her by Yavama is because she's messing up her kids by Yavama, but she's not messing herself up. By a husband, if he shows up, she's messing herself up. By a Yavama, if he shows up, she's not messing herself up. She's only messing up her kids. So trash, I don't get it. It's not true. She's messing herself up. No, all those consequences are happened by Yavama too. I don't understand what that Girsa says. That Girsa seems to say that by your husband, when he comes back, she'll have terrible consequences on her own, besides her kids. By Yavam, it would only affect your kids. So trash, I don't get it. According to Bekiva, if the Yavam shows up, everything we threw at her in the Mishnah, we would throw at her now. Because it's not the Masechet's Gittin, the Elbish Ma'ite Masin, the Lobetz Yufta, HaKainet Es Yavama, V'Hokot Es Rastav and Nistis. We had that Mishnah before, right? A person marries his woman, Yavama, and then we find her to be an islandess. It says, Teitze Mizem, Mizem, V'Cholat Rokham Eilubba. Look him, the Kermakiva. That means we throw the whole book at her. Ami B'Yavama L'Shuk, Nami Yisun Kohani Shukuli. There's no difference in what we throw at the Yavama when her Yavam shows up or to what we throw at a woman when her husband shows up. If she's not messing up, why do we have to even mention this case? From the next case, we see that women don't worry about messing up their kids only. Where do we see that? Woman walks and says, my sister died. Right. I want to marry her husband. If she married her husband, and then her husband, and then the sister shows up, who would be punished? She wouldn't have any punishment. What would happen to her? She's an unmarried girl. She comes in and says her sister died. Again, she comes in and what consequences would be if her sister showed up? Not a major consequence. There's no losing Iksubo. She's not married to the guy. She's not losing something she had. Terence says her kids will be manzerim. Obviously, that doesn't worry her. Because if it did, we would trust her to say her sister died. So from that case, we see she doesn't worry only about her kids. So why is it necessary to take the case of Yavam? Again, Rashi is reacting to the Girsa that said that when the Yavam shows up, she doesn't lose anything. She's still entitled to her tshuva. The only thing that happens is her kids. The Rashi, first of all, it's not true. She loses everything. And second of all, if it's true, I don't need the case. Because in the next case, I already saw that the kids' consequences is not enough. The troop shot is, even though she is messing her up, right? She'll go out from her husband and from her yavam. She came in and said her husband died. She wants to get, she comes and I want to have yibum. The answer is, we won't believe a woman to say her yavam died. We won't believe a woman to say her yavam died because the emotion of hatred overrides everything else. That's what we're saying. Yes?
Correct. And then if her husband comes back,
gotta give it back.
Yeah.
By the way, what you just said now is the machlokes tanoim, but that's the halacha. Eid Echad comes in and tells a woman that her husband died. We trust Eid Echad to let her get remarried.
Right.
Can she collect the tshuva, or do we say for money we need two Eidim? So the Gemara says at the end of the day that the Lashon tshuva says when you get remarried, when you're mutter to get remarried, you will collect the tshuva. So since the tshuva speaks out that the monetary obligation depends on her right to get remarried, she collects the tshuva. This will be a discussion later in the Masechta. Not yet, not at all. But it is a man Yavam that wants to say, we trusted him to get remarried, but when it comes to money, we say, who says your husband died? One aid doesn't collect money. We let you get remarried because of Iguno, but we're not going to make people pay. So Iguno is a kula. Iguno is a kula for marriage, not for money.
You're saying
Iguna made a heter. But Iguna was a heter to get remarried. Iguna wasn't a heter to collect money. But the Gemara paskins from the Lashon HaKsuba. It says, "L'kshidinafti la'achar titli ma'shakasim l'chu." In the Lashon HaKsuba, it says, when you get remarried, you can take your Ksuba. So she can get remarried. So automatically she's entitled to Ksuba. Yeah, well, if he shows up, it wasn't her second husband. Right. So at the end of the day, we still don't have a proof. Or at least, if we do, it seems to say that we don't trust a woman to say her yavam died. Because we're afraid that the emotion of dislike is too much, and we can't rely on her, nor on an Eid Echad. Zogta Gemara, Amar. Rabbi wants to say, we do trust in Eid Echad. We trust in Eid Echad to say a Yavam died. And Rabbi says a very simple logic. We trust in Eid Echad to say a woman's husband died. That's a Shiloh of Mises Bezin. Yavam Lashuk is only a Lav. Wouldn't you believe in Eid Echad more in a Lav than you would on Mises Bezin? You let an Eid Echad come in and tell a woman your husband died and you let her get remarried. The consequences are severe. But you trust Eid Echad. But then when the Eid Echad comes in and says your Yavam died, all she'll do is violate a Lav. Dr. Gemara, Rabba Amma Eid Echad, Nama Biyavama Mikava Chaymer. The Isser Karasi Tarta. Is it Lav Lekoshke? Again, most of the Shinam learn in Rav that it's a Lav plus it's not Chal. Amalai Humer Rabbanah L'Rava, no. He Atzma Techiach. The woman herself. Is it Karasi Tarta? Is it Lav Lekoshke Tarta? By the woman herself, she can say her husband died, but we don't trust her to say Yavam died because of hatred. Eli, in my time of Lemahem, that the human is in the Sanyalei, since he sometimes hates him, we don't trust her. You're right in one aspect, but you're wrong in the other. Look at the woman. A woman comes in and says her husband died, but let her get remarried. A woman comes in and says her yavam died, the Mishnah says we don't believe her. Why don't you believe her? It's a love. All it is a love. There it is, because she dislikes her yavam. It's a factor. What?
That.
So that's what the Gemara's answer is. The rubber can't say. What you said is the Gemara's answer. That's why I didn't respond to you.
I know.
Rubber
has the answer.
I don't know. Rashi, Lisa, Karaslim, and Beis by Luchinasi. So at the end of the day, it's an interesting end of story. A woman comes in and says, my husband died, we let her have Hebrew. And we're not afraid that the emotion of love will make her taint her investigation. And if an echad comes in and says a woman died, a husband died, we let him have Yibum. Trust the woman, we trust in Eid Echad. That's what the Gemara said in the second lashon. But if a woman comes in and says her Yavam died, if a woman comes in and says her Yavam died, we don't trust her. We trust her to get Yibum, we don't trust her to get out of Yibum. And we don't trust an Eid Echad, it's Maskana to Gemara, to get out of Yibam either. That means the emotion of hatred is more than the emotion of love. What? Because it relies on Yidai Kominsima. It relies on the fact that she does a private investigation. And here you can't rely on her private investigation.
That's proof?
It didn't prove it, but that's the way the Gemara is leaning. You can get out of every proof, but that's the way the Gemara leans.
The Iker is psychopath.
Right. So it comes out that the emotion of hatred, what? That she checks it out herself, independent investigation. So it comes out at the end of the day that the emotion of hatred is worse than the emotion of love. Love won't make her taint her investigation, or her love to her brother-in-law is not as strong of an emotion as her hatred to her brother-in-law. And it makes sense. She likes her brother-in-law. She doesn't mind having him as a husband. But she's not going to lie because of that. But on the other hand, to get out of her brother-in-law, I mean, she dislikes her brother-in-law. She doesn't want to be stuck with him. That she'll do. That's what the Gemara seems to say. You know, I just want to point out something very obvious. This woman that's lying is putting a lot on the line. But it doesn't make a difference. The emotion of dislike makes it that even though we throw the book at her, she's willing to take her chances. She doesn't like her brother-in-law. She doesn't want to be stuck with him. If she gets caught, she'll suffer consequences. But she's not willing. She's not willing to be stuck with her brother-in-law.
Is an Eid Echad coming? Are we saying the whole thing is
over?
I mean, what?
Is an Eid Echad? He might, yeah. We don't rely on an Eid Echad. It's a special heter. That special heter, according to one side of the Gemara, needs the fact that she does a fair, honest, thorough investigation.
Whether it's her or not, whether it's her saying it or the other, she doesn't get that dispensation to make a notification.
Again, Edaka comes in and says that Reuven ate in the Vela. Do we give Reuven Malchus? No. But you don't believe Edaka? The Torah said you don't believe Edaka. We're not saying he's a liar. We're saying you're not enough evidence. And Edaka comes in and tells the woman your husband died. The Torah says we don't believe him. Not believed. Who is he? He's not enough evidence. Isurim mean not davar shebe'erva, and not punishment.
Kosher.
Kosher, trev.
In other words, nothing, what did you say again? What was the thing you said? I asked you.
I said not punishment, not erva, not punishment. Not money.
Not money. What do you
come in and say Reuven ate the Vela. He deserves Malchus. I warned him. He ate it anyway.
It's not included in Eid.
Yeah, we don't punish by an Eid Echad.
Right.
Now, it's interesting. Because if an Eid Echad comes in and says, this is the Vela, then Reuven wants to eat it, and two ate him, warned him, don't eat it. It's the Vela, and he does, he gets Malchus. If the Eid Echad tells us he eats it, we don't get Malchus. So don't punish our Eid Echad. If the Eid Echad told us this is the Vela, believe him. Then Reuven came to eat it, and two ate him, warned him, and said, don't eat it, it's the Vela. Now they don't know it's the Vela, they only heard it from the Eid Echad. Still won't get punished. Because the Eid Echad established the fact that it's the Vela. He was believed for that. So now we know it's the Vela. The punishment is a consequence. It's not their direct testimony. An Eid Echad cannot testify to give a guy a punishment. But an Eid Echad can establish facts on the ground. He can say, this is the Vela. So it comes out. So an Eid Echad can cause punishment, but he can't be the direct cause of punishment. What? No, then it's not his mazer. How can you give a guy Malchus?
Where do you have that?
That's true. Did Echad never be Surim? You eat at home?
No.
I know she doesn't serve you supper. But do you eat at home?
No.
You take supper on your own?
I know.
So Rashi learns it's a Svara and Taisus learns it's a Pasuk. Rashi says it's a Svara because not you can't exist in this world. And Taisus says it comes from Nida, the Safra law. A woman can count her 7 clean days and she's believed to tell her husband, I'm clean. It's Surah. Karis. She's believed to establish the fact that she's Tyra. Safrawa, the Pasuk says she counts herself. She doesn't have to have witnesses testify that she's Tyra. We trust her. Sometimes it's a Raya, and Echad never be sure.
Not Davar
Shebe'erva. Not Davar Shebe'erva, but it's just saying that she had Siv and Akiyam. Only the fact that she went to the mikvah, she's believed because she has the ability to do that. I don't want to get involved in that. But that's what Taisus learns the source is of Eid Echad never be sure. So what I just told you is a Rambam. I don't think it's a Gemara. That when Eid Echad testifies something is the Vela, and then two Eidim come in and say, a guy ate it, he gets punished. Because the Eid Echad established the fact even though an Ein Echad cannot punish. But he's not punishing here. He's establishing a fact, which consequently causes a punishment.
And the Eved that is saying, they're saying that this is...
They don't know it.
They don't know it.
They know it from him.
But are they saying now it's, we know that?
No. They know it from him.
I know, so it's not even, they may not even know. They never even
well, now they know, because he's believed. Why is your food kosher at home? Because your wife is believed. So you can say it's kosher. You invite a guest. Tell him, listen, I don't really know if this is kosher or not. My wife says it's okay. Or do you say, it's 100% okay? Because you trust your wife. Ein Echad says it's nevela. We believe him. It's nevela. That fact became an established fact. Now, if one Eid comes in and says Reuven ate it, can't punish him. Two Eidim come in and say Reuven ate it, he ate Nevela. How do you know it's Nevela? One Eid, that's good enough. That's the Rambam says. But Ein Echad is not believed on money, and Ein Echad is not believed on Zav Hashem Ereva, and Ein Echad is not believed to punish. Only for Isser. To establish Isser or Heter. Back to the Mishnah 2 months ago. The Mishnah said that they told her woman her husband died and she accepted Kedushin. Then her husband came in. She can go back to her husband. And even if the second guy gives her a get, we don't say, oh, he divorced her. We say that get is a waste of time. It's a waste of paper. Because the pasuk says, Isha Grusha Me'isha. A woman divorced from her husband. She did not get divorced from her husband. She got divorced from a stranger. That's what the Mishnah darshan. Azu darsh, zem medrash darsh, ablazim et masya. And he darshaned that a woman that's not divorced from her husband is not a grusha. Amar avyud amar rav. Havalei l'rablazim l'midrash bei marganisa, v'darsh bei chaspa. Now, it's a very, Rav is saying a very sharp line about Rablazim. The Masya. He's saying he had a chance to use this pasuk to darshan a halacha that's a pearl, and instead he darshans a halacha that's a shard. Because shards cover the pearl. So he just got the cover and didn't get the inside. Because what he said is obvious. A strange man gives you a get. Of course it's not a get. I can't go to somebody else's wife and give her a get. Why should that be a get? I don't need that drasha. You know what the pasuk is telling me, Isha Grusha Meisha? The Tanya of Isha Grusha Meisha. Afilu lo nizgarsha la Meisha. Psula lakuna. V'hainu reyach haget, the paiso bakuna. A man writes a woman a get, his wife. And he says, you are divorced from me, but you cannot marry anybody else. But it passes a lacuna. Because she's Grusha Meisha. He did divorce her with an invalid divorce. He did say, you're divorced to me. It doesn't work. But the bottom line is she becomes passel lacuna. That's called a reyach haget. It's a smell of a get. It has... No. But if he dies now and she wants to marry a kayin, and she claims she's a widow, we say your husband did write you a get. And therefore, that's enough that rabbinically, it's not a true, even though we darshan from a pasuk, I think it's rabbinic, you cannot marry a kayin.
Or if he divorces you later.
Well, then for sure she can't marry a kayin.
What's the case?
A husband wrote a woman a get, his wife a get, and it said, you're divorced to me, but you can't marry anybody else. Right, but he wrote it.
However,
it's enough so that we won't let this woman marry a kayin.
It might be a good
hit. No, because it's a reyach haget. It has the fragrance of a divorce. It's rabbinic. It looks divorce-like.
Why do you say that she can't marry her
Yavam
either?
Why is she
beautiful? Interesting point. It doesn't say so, but I don't know. You might be right, you might be wrong, I don't know.
What
would happen if the woman's wife died, the woman's husband died, because she had Yibum? He wrote her this get that was not a get, but it was a Reach get. Would we let her brother-in-law do Yibum? Or would we make him do Chalitza? That's what Ramesh is asking.
It could be a Deraisa.
I don't think it's a Deraisa. Reach get is a Drabah. I know we're dodging from a pasuk, but it's an atzmaksa.
Is it get
your
reach? Is it all get with a long?
Those are drabanan.
Those are real get. Those are. That's considered divorce.
You want to know what would be that long of marrying a kayan? He wouldn't let her because with the rights she's divorced. Only with drabanan we don't consider her divorced. Then we wouldn't let even for sure. Here with the rights she's not divorced.
Rabbi, can you explain this
again? You're divorced to me, but you're not permissible to any other man. She's not divorced completely. She's separated from her husband, meaning that's what the get says. I believe Reach HaGet is rabbinic. I don't know if the article will say if it's rabbinic or biblical. Either way, she gets him to be there's a grusha or an amala.
He didn't divorce with this guest, but he's
still
binding her to
that
she's not.
Right, so she can't get remarried, so she knows she has to. That's what I thought. Looks like it's a derisa, but Gemara uses it as a drasha, but it's rabbinic. Does he quote? Gemara and Gittin.
Rabbi, can you just repeat why it has any effect at all, the words of her ex, the words of her husband?
Reason it has, well, based on an asmachta, we lean into the pasuk, but the logic behind it is that their husband wrote her a bill of divorce, an invalid bill of divorce. But since he wrote her a bill of divorce, the Rabbanan say we can't ignore it. And therefore we don't let him marry a Kayan because it looks like a divorcee is marrying a Kayan.
Even a completely ineffective document has power to change her status in the future.
From the husband.
I don't understand that at all. It's like the equivalent of him just blurting it out without writing anything down.
Oh, see, a get has to be written. So if it's not written, it doesn't qualify even to look like a divorce. I don't know. It's a sugya and getting what's rare I get, what's not, and I'm not going to comment without looking it up. I don't want to put my foot in my mouth. No.
You met a breath get the past 5 blocks?
No.
What
did the case of the Mishnah? The Blazer said in the Mishnah that this man, somebody, an Erech came and told the woman her husband died. She received Kedushin from a second man. Her husband showed up. I mean, she was never really married to the second man. And she doesn't need a divorce because we don't throw the book at her because she didn't consummate that marriage. That
she was not a Arusa to
She was a Kedushin, only Kedushin. So we let her go back to her first husband. And we tell the second husband, you don't have to write again. There's no reason for it. And he went ahead and wrote again anyway. And he gave it to her. Because she go back to her first husband. Because it looks like somebody else divorced her and he's taking her back. Right. Dr. Blaza, no, she can go back. Because it's a strange man giving her a divorce. It's a worthless piece of paper.
But future, she can't marry a regular woman.
Not in that case. She never received a get from a husband. He wrote. So what happens if Reuven gives Shimon's wife a get? That's what happened here.
Okay, so what's the consequence? Nothing.
Nothing.
She's learning that from a chassid.
Right. But she's not divorced from her husband.
And there is no reich haget here?
What reich haget? It's a strange man.
The only reich haget comes from a real husband.
Exactly. Not a real husband. It's like somebody decides to give his next door neighbor's wife a get. That's a rabbinic get. All it has to do with Ben Zeeble.
She
can't marry Kuna, though.
Why?
Because you got a get, a rabbinic get. That's enough to ban her to Kuna. By the way, chalitza. Hold on a second. It doesn't make a difference. She gets chalitza, she's lost to the kuna anyway. It's academic, your question.
This rabbinic get is because her husband gave her a get to
aid him. He wrote a very good get, except it was an invalid get. He, husband, I need Ruvain Ben, this, I'm divorcing my wife, this, but you can't get married to anybody else.
He gave it to her in front of Aiden.
In front of Aiden.
Okay, the get is written correctly?
Uh-huh.
It's the
G-board
that's bad?
No. In the get, it says, Viat Lutaris L'Chol Adam.
Yeah, and this didn't say that. And this said on it. What did this say? Why is it only written for my wife? Because it said you cannot
marry anybody else.
And that's what it said in the get, right?
Yeah.
So the get itself is a...
Correct.
So let's say the date was not... There's no date. What's that different than anything else?
You're right. I said I don't know how many things make a reich haget. You're right. By the way, no date is a good get midaraisa.
What I'm trying to bring out is that it's absurd. I read this stuff at Harvard or something. You said it can't be absurd. The actual get itself is fine. That's not true.
No, it's not true. The get is not fine.
No, but what? Listen to 1/8 times them two.
If it's biblically puzzled, it's a reich haget.
If it's biblically.
See, there are cases that are biblically possible and cases not. I'm not learning the text of Gittin now. Who says 1/8 is not enough in a get?
A regular lot of times a person comes and says, and you're taking over. I want to do that now.
There's a Mandiyama in Gittin that says that the cipher's writing is a second aid. He is a second witness to the get. That's why I didn't want to have that case. I was trying to avoid getting involved in something. But since you want Kala Karakula.
Now, so Rebbe, before you go to school today.
Yeah, one question. Can someone be just as foolish as the aide?
What?
So fair, can be just as foolish.
I don't know, he paid the site for $1,000 to do this.
In other words, the aide only has to know that he gave a get. He doesn't have to understand the law books or anything, right?
No, he just has to know. He has to know that the husband wants this get written.
Right, but he doesn't have to know any of the
Nyanim
Mutaget. And the
Sofer,
the same thing?
All you have to know is the Nusach Haget. That's the right words.
And you write the wrong words?
So then depends what. I'm not going to go through all the Nusach Haget. Some are Kabakim, some are not Makim.
Exactly, in this case.
He wrote, a get writes, Vahariat Mutaris L'Chalodam. If you ever take a look at a bill of divorce, it says, and you can marry anybody. This one says, and you can't marry anybody.
Should the Sofer have... So the sofer does not know the forget.
He was paid to do this. He doesn't care.
That's what I'm asking. The sofer is just as clueless.
He's not clueless. He knows that he's writing a piece of garbage, but he's for money. He'll do that too.
He might be also a second aid.
Again, it's a separate sugya. That was to satisfy him.
He can't do it all on one foot leg.
Everybody have a wonderful Shabbat.